I got to tell you, John, you preach that word from Acts. I could sit down, but I'm not. That was good. There's a story of a woman who sees a father shopping in the grocery store, and he's has a very fussy two-year-old with him in his grocery cart, and she hears the father whispering, "Be patient, Billy. You can handle this, Billy. It's okay, Billy." And the woman stopped and said to the dad, she said, "I don't mean to interrupt your shopping, but I just want to tell you how wonderfully loving and patient you are with your son, Billy." And the man replied, "Actually, my son's name is Patrick. I'm Billy." I'm sure all of us can think back to various outings with our children. I know Debbie and I have. One time when we were in seminary, actually, Debbie was in the grocery store with our kids, and one of our children was not getting what he wanted and was putting up a mighty fuss. And Debbie decided just to leave things behind, picked up our son, and walking out of the store, all the while our son screaming, "This is not my mommy!" The sad thing is, nobody challenged her. Most of us know our limitations, whether it's physical or emotional. We know our strengths and our weaknesses, and we grow and we learn in all of that. But there is another very important part of us that needs strength, that needs feeding, and that is our spiritual being as well. Today we come together for a special celebration. It's the day of Pentecost, and it ushers in the last liturgical season of the church. As most of you know, our church calendar, as many churches, many denominations, is divided into seasons that help us to remember what Christ has done for us. Most understand what Advent is, preparing for Christ to come into the world. We certainly understand Christmas and what that's about, the birth of Jesus coming to us. We know about Epiphany. Jesus is manifested to the Gentiles and gifts are brought to him, and we look forward to his return. We understand Lent, a penitential season of reflection and prayer and remembering that Jesus took our sins upon that cross. And of course, Easter, the great celebration of Jesus' triumph over death through his resurrection. And then we come to Pentecost, and a lot of people might say, "Well, what is that? What's it about?" Well, Pentecost means 50. It is 50 days after Easter, but there is more to it than just that. It is also falls on a special Jewish holiday, the Feast of Weeks, the celebration of the harvest. All these events that we celebrate are equally important. All the seasons have meaning. All these events work together to glorify God and his church. And we wouldn't be here today without any one of them. But Pentecost is, in fact, the culmination of what Jesus did and wanted to accomplish in all those other events that we remember. As you read through the Bible, you'll see God's Spirit moving through creation. He breathed life into the first two humans. We see his working through the prophets to usher in the Messiah coming, his anointing on Mary. Then we see the Spirit working in the life, teaching, and miracles of Jesus. But Jesus didn't just come and perform miracles and then leave us. He had a purpose for all of that. And he explains it in our gospel reading today. Just before this reading, Jesus said to his disciples, "You know the way." And then Thomas said, "No, we don't know the way. Show us the way." And Jesus gives those familiar words we all know, and I touched on this last week. "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, in today's world, we get so hung up on what I'm going to call spiritual correctness. In an attempt not to offend anyone, we want to go along and say all paths lead to God. And I'm not saying we should be offensive, but you know what? We need to know the truth. And as I said last week, this is what God said in the person of Jesus. I'm it. I'm the way. Philip pipes in with his request. He says, Jesus, just show us the Father. We don't need anything else. And Jesus pleads with Philip, don't you get it yet? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We are one. In other words, Jesus is the physical embodiment of the Father. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that, believe what you've seen and what I've done. Look at the history. Look at what has been foretold. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Who else is going to do that? So Jesus is legitimate not only by what he says, but by what he does. And here comes the exciting part in the disciples and for us as well. Jesus said, and he said it with emphasis, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus is really being direct here. He is really wants them and us to get this. And it's important that we look at the whole context of what Jesus is saying. He's already said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And now he says, when that happens, he's going to pass that work that he started on to those who believe. And they will do greater works because they, that is the church that will form, are going to be around for a while. And whatever you need for that work, I'm going to give it to you. All you need to do is ask in my name. Now, some take that scripture and treat God like a candy store. If I want it, I just ask Jesus for it and it's done. That's not exactly what he's saying. I believe with all my heart that God wants to bless all of us and who call on Jesus, and that he wants to bless us through this journey that he has us on. What we need to understand, though, is that God has a plan, a call for all of us who call on him. He wants to use us. He wants to accomplish his will through us. And he is entrusting his disciples, and he is entrusting us to carry out his will in the world around us. You see, you can't look at verse 13, ask in my name, without looking at verse 12, doing the work I will give you. As God puts that need, that desire, whatever it is in our hearts, he will accomplish it when we ask him. But it does mean we have to be open and to be used by God wherever we are. It means we have to have a willingness to be used. Now, at first, that may seem a little overwhelming. How can I do what Jesus did? But you see, you can. Not by yourself, you can't, but you can. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You're not going to be alone. I will come to you. I will be with you. That doesn't happen under our own power. It happens by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see, whatever God has in store for you, whatever it is he calls you to do, he is there with you. I cannot tell you how many times when the Lord would be leading me into a conversation with someone, and it is like words just rolling out of me that I didn't know where they came from. As the Spirit brings to mind a particular situation or a particular scripture that needs for that particular time. There have been times when I'm preaching, and sometimes I just get something else after I prepared for so long to do something, and the Lord just gives me something else to say. There are times when the Lord will say, stop praying in that direction and start praying in this direction. There are times when he might say, just keep praying and praying and praying. There are times when I know that I'm supposed to share Christ with someone because the door of opportunity is there and it needs to happen. The point is this: if you are willing, Jesus, by his Spirit, will use you. So here Jesus is comforting his disciples, and he is giving them this instruction. And everything that he said happened. Jesus, at his ascension, told them to go and wait. These simple, ordinary, everyday people from various walks of life did as they were told. And as they were gathered on that Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the First Harvest, this wonderful event took place. Jesus did what he said he would do. The very Spirit of God fell on those gathered in that room. They began to prophesy. They began to speak in other tongues. They began to be gifted with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. Read about them in 1 Corinthians 13. They became empowered with the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means the church was born. Peter, the fisherman, went out and started preaching. 3,000 come to Christ. Some of them became church planters, writers of the gospel. There were works of healing, casting out of spirits, and the dead raised. The works that Christ did, they began to do through the Spirit of God, because the very Spirit of God had a plan for them. And everything they did glorified God. Dear family, from that very special day until Jesus returns, that same Spirit is given to the church, the people of Christ, his people to do his work. Nothing has changed. He is still with us through thick or thin, no matter what is going on in our lives. Many times when I'm going through a slump in my life, and we all go through periods of our life where we might feel, I just can't do this. Many times when I'm going through that, I think back to when God called me the first time, when I was on my knees in my apartment 43 years ago, and he literally changed my heart. I think of how he brought Debbie and I together. That was a real miracle that happened. I think of all those times, as I mentioned before, that he has intervened in my life and used me in situations that I couldn't have dreamed of. You see, no one can tell me God isn't real. No one can tell me that the Holy Spirit isn't active in our lives. You see, we are still living in this present age. That is the age that God has worked out, that from the very time that he was ascended to the time that he will return. That's this present age. And he is still active in this present age. Do we still have a free will? Yes, we do. Do we still slip and fall at times? Yes, we do. I do all the time. Are we perfect? By no means. But what we do have, money cannot buy. And we can't accomplish it on our own. Because Jesus gave this promise: if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Here's the question: did Jesus mean what he said in that statement? I say, yes, he did. Debbie and I were listening to a teaching the other day, and the person said this: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's out of 2 Corinthians, and it's also a popular praise song. But then he said, where he is not, there is bondage. It's as simple as that. You see, we can allow the very Spirit of God to, as Jesus said, make his home with us, or we will not. Therefore, left to the world's standards, to be guided by the world's direction. He wants so much to be a part of our lives, and as a result, to be used in so many ways. His desire is that we grow more and more into his likeness. He wants us to be empowered to do his work here and now. What an honor he has given us to be one with him. Yes, we will always be a work in process of growing and learning. But listen to this, he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. If anyone is not listening, it's us. If anyone is not obeying, it's us. He has a world of opportunities for us. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is real. He is here today. He is calling each of us into action to be in a relationship with him. We will always be able to call on him. He will always be there for us. He will never let us down. He will be with us forever. I ask you again today, do you believe that? Allow the Spirit of God to fill you with all that he has for you. Allow him to revive us into a body that is used mightily for his glory. On this day that we remember the outpouring of God's Spirit on his church, but also remember this, it's not over. He is still pouring. May we remember what a wonderful and awesome God we serve and wants to do more than we could ever imagine through each of us if we'd only open our hearts more and more to him. I pray that you would allow him to fill you with his presence. Allow him to use you in those ways that you never thought possible. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that you have poured out on your church and that you continue to pour out on your church, Lord God. I pray for each person here that as we walk out of this place, we'd be filled with your presence to do the work that you called us to do. Open doors for each and every person in this place that they didn't even think were possible to do the work that you've called them, to encourage them, Lord God, in their walk with you. Father, I thank you so much that you call each of us into that relationship with you. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, to spend eternity with you, Lord God. And you've paved the way, and you want to pave the way for others as well. So, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. This day is not just a celebration. It is a remembrance, and it is an asking that you be filled, fill us with your presence. And we thank you, Father. And I give it all to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.